We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Adam, I'm having a soup across the way. Any guess what kind of soup I'm having right now?
Chicken dumpling.
Chicken dumpling is a good guess. It's the traditional, the chicken wild rice. I'm going very Minnesotan here from our place, Allie's Deli, which the two of us like. Lindsay, are you much of an, have you tried Allie's?
I've never been.
Oh, it's very,
very good. What are the other common popular soups that we have here in Minnesota? And is anything even close in its ubiquity to chicken wild rice soup in Minnesota?
Well, depending on what part of Minnesota you're in,
okay.
Where I was raised, vamachka is very popular, and you can find it on pretty much any.
Okay, and I'm just going to tell
deli,
you.
Small town restaurant.
I've never heard of this
vamachka. It's delicious. It's a it depends on how it's made, but it's got tons of veggies, dill. It's almost like a little sour.
Okay,
really good. Maybe I'll get some and bring it in.
I would love it.
We'll try it out. I'll embrace the Czech heritage that I don't have.
Okay. Adam, have you heard of this soup until she just...
I have not.
All right. Text me this. Outside of wild rice soup, when you think of our state, what will be next? And can we count chili in this category? Is that totally separate?
Chili's different.
Chili is different. I am with you.
Because there are different varieties of chili, too. So.
Yes, there definitely are. But
I made a great pork shoulder chili the other weekend.
Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
It was so good. That wasn't that, but that was something similar.
Adam, were you offering any of that chili?
No.
I was not. I love me some chili.
Chili is great.
Where are the top places in the area for chili? Because to me, still, one of the leaders in the clubhouse is my place, just blocks away from here, The Loon. The Loon, they have fantastic chili.
Yes.
They absolutely do. Variety of good chilies.
Yes. And the important thing with chili is to provide toppings or the option for toppings.
I like that.
The chili base is great, but if you can throw sour cream, cheese.
I like a lot of stuff.
Scallions. I take jalapenos.
I do, too. Adam likes to put pizza in his chili. Is it very similar to the bloody? If you had to have the same, you get a Bloody Mary and you get chili. And they pick out seven different toppings and four of them are going to go in the chili and three are going to go in the Bloody Mary. Are you going to accept that exchange, Carter?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Walleye chowder.
I've had it. Not very often. Will we say that's a contender for the second most popular soup in Minnesota?
No, it's just a Minnesota.
Yeah, it is. What would be the second one? And by the way, say the name of the soup. Somebody wants to know.
Vamachka.
Vamachka.
I'll spell it. It's Vomacka. And the place to apparently get it down where I'm from is David's Diner in Montgomery.
David's Diner.
My dad swore by it. That was his spot.
Vamachka. Tomato basil. Where do we stand? I like tomato basil. I want it to have a little kick to it, though. I think it can be a little blasé. Chowder. I love a good chowder. I don't think we're a big chowder area. Do you guys?
No, East Coast.
It is more of an East Coast thing. Is that Booyah? Is that still in our fridge?
Might be. Might be growing.
Wait, the other day, Laura Oaks brought in food at 1 o'clock, and they cleaned it out at 2:20 that same afternoon. The Booyah has been in there from August. I think we need to get to it. French onion soup. Let me just say, overrated.
No.
All time. That film that is on there that you can skate across. Ugh.
Beer cheese, that's a good one.
Have you ever had it at the Renaissance Festival in the bread bowl? Oh, that's the way to do it.
The beer cheese, though, you know, the Whiskey River in St. Peter was about as good as it gets. Sadly, Whiskey River no longer exists.
I have very vivid memories of just like a big old bowl of vegetable beef because growing up, they did Wednesday soup suppers at church. So Wednesday, you would go, I think it was during Lent.
Knowing you, were you paying attention to what they were saying there at church and those principles?
I think I'm a pretty good human. Could I recite specific things from the Bible? I mean, maybe. Yeah. I was always in the Christmas pageant. I got that story down pat.
I've never been a huge vegetable beef person, but somebody special to me just made me some vegetable beef.
Really?
About a month ago, and it was
Jack Rice?
Yep. Great cook.
And, as some say here in this building, great with the FBI. I mean, tortilla soup, I love.
Chicken tortilla soup.
Chicken tortilla soup is my favorite soup.
Have you had pozole before?
I have.
That's another type of Spanish-Mexican style soup, and that is with the hominy corn in there, and so good.
I don't think we're great, though, with the tortilla soup, are we? Right? I would have you could have flown me down tonight for the Wolves Spurs game, dropped me off to have some good tortilla soup, and I just would have met you at the airport. I didn't have to go. I mean, per diem, hotel in the tortilla soup. Do we like Booyah?
Booyah's good.
It's a wide variety, right?
It's not like it's kind of it's like a vegetable beef soup.
Depending on where you go, because when I worked
our fridge, I mean it's right there.
Go try it out. Nye's used to have good Booyah. Nice. Rest in peace. Too soon? Too soon for that one?
No, used to.
Still open? I don't know.
I feel like there was like a 6 month long
that
party.
That was another story. I used to college come back and we would have a softest hair contest at Nye's. We would get very consumed with alcohol, and then have some of the legendary waitresses come over and judge who had the softest hair. Adam, would you like to do that? Go out, maybe the three of us.
Just saying the other day, my hair lately has just been really nice and soft.
Very nice and soft.
Yeah.
Well, I showed you a picture of me at Jason's wedding.
Don King.
My hair, no product, was standing up an extra 3 inches. It was
bad
It was not a good look. I got to be honest. It was bad. I've liked the tunes, but what happened to your tunes? We just had two of them? It's back to...
I have no idea. I don't know how it works.
It's a weird system.
I keep putting in new music.
I hope they're coming up soon. All right, we are the home of the Timberwolves. They take on the Spurs, or a shell of the Spurs, because the best two-way player in basketball, Kawhi Leonard, he's not going to play tonight. Tony Parker's still out. George Gervin's out. David Robinson's out. Tim Duncan's out. Red McCombs is out. Who else can we go with San Antonio? Davy Crockett's out.
Big shot Bob Horry.
Big shot Bob Horry. Other San Antonio. Riverwalk will not be playing. San Antonio's fine. You need to go past the Riverwalk, though. Right? You see the Riverwalk once or twice, and you move on. The organization, obviously, has been fantastic. So I get it when people hear about the Wolves and they say, oh, sure, this is going to be the year. They obviously last made the playoffs 2004. And really, since then, they've been as bad as any team in professional sports. Well, it's just the truth. And again, this is an organization I worked for 16 years. I still want them to win. Everything else, I just want the story. But I was there long enough. I still actually care if they win. But you just got to be honest. They have been miserably run. The talent hasn't been close. And it's been a clown show too much. They were so bad, eventually they were going to get some better players. I mean, it's unavoidable, right? And so after the Butler trade, you can understand why a lot of people, not just homers, are saying they have to jump up. But I said it last year because I heard so many people in town who I trust on basketball tell me, oh, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win over 50% of the games. I didn't buy it at all. And when I see that the over-under this year is 48.5, I would spend a lot of money on the under again. Now, I think they're going to be much better, but let's not forget, they won 33 games last year. 33 games. And you're now saying to win, to bet the over, they're going to improve 16 games. Most of the time in the NBA, when you improve that of that caliber, you've not lost anybody, and you've added just a flat-out superstar. I love Jimmy Butler as a player in so many ways, but they gave up talent to get him, and I'd make that trade again. Here's another one I hear a lot, and Jim Suhan is my friend, has been for a long time. Jim's one of many people who have said this. Now, Jim does it in a more powerful way because he's a columnist for the Tribune. Jim says this, the trade for Jimmy Butler gives the Wolves the best roster in franchise history. I can't even tell you how much I disagree. The 2004 roster, which went to the Western Conference Finals, is, at this point, without a doubt, much better than this roster. Now, get back to me at the end of the year, and if it's changed, it's changed. But let's just remind you about the 2004 roster. You had the best player in basketball. And he was for 2 years. And he was, for about 5 years, one of the three or four best players in basketball. That's Garnett. Butler is a very good player. If you ask people around the NBA, is he a top five player? No one will say that. Is he in that next five? Maybe. Maybe. Is he top 15? Sure. Karl Towns. All sorts of talent. He's magnificent offensively. The variety of ways he can score at 7 feet, 250 is borderline unparalleled. And he is an absolute cornerstone guy. He is an absolute player that every NBA team would love to have. But defensively, he still is atrocious. And you add Wiggins. You look at the modern-day metrics of how they judge defense. There's multiple ones that look at Towns and Wiggins and have them either at the bottom of centers and swingmen or near the bottom. And that does matter. So Butler in his prime right now. Wiggins and Towns, they're not in the prime yet. I buy way more into Towns than I do Wiggins, but that's another separation. Let's go back to 04. Sam Cassell, for that year, was the second-best point guard playing the most important position in the game. That year, he was. Sprewell, while not as dynamic as he was the previous few years, still was a very good two-way player. A lot of those Sunday afternoon games, he had no interest playing. But when the games mattered, including the playoffs, Sprewell was outstanding. They had very good complementary players who were good defensive players in Hassel, in Madsen, in Irvin Johnson. They had a great shooter coming off the bench in Fred Hoiberg, and they had a guy coming off the bench.
Wait a minute, Magic Johnson was on that
team?
I don't remember
that. Forget
Irving Johnson?
That Magic came off the bench on that team. And people forget. Now Zerbiak was hurt quite a bit. He only played 26, 28, 30-some games. Zerbiak was an all-star a year or two before. So, and that team won 58 games. So
28 games.
He played 28 games. So that does matter. But when the playoffs were there, he was there. So, yes, I understand the intrigue about this. But to say this is a better roster than that, no way. Not right now. Now, all of a sudden, if Towns makes this big jump, and Wiggins makes a big jump, that's a different situation. But Adam, when you have the best player in the game and when you have the second best point guard in the game, that is a different situation. I think some of it is some people, Adam, are just so sick of the same storyline that they just want something to be different after a decade and a half of ineptitude. It's not your sport, right? You're more of a lawn yards guy. But what is your what's your level of interest with the Wolves this year?
I'm very intrigued, and I 04 was so long ago that, I mean, I remember getting pumped up. I've never been a huge basketball fan.
Yep.
But obviously, you know, there's some superstars on that team, and it was fun to be interested in that going into the springtime and early summer. And you hear it all the time from people who know much more about sports than I do that, you know, having a good basketball team in town,
it's fun.
It's fun, and I'd love to be able to, you know, it's just the Western Conference. I mean, it's just like
it's loaded, right?
Everybody's come over to the West.
Yeah, it is, and I mean, I will point out again, when the Wolves were very good and it was a limited amount of time, they won the ratings battle with the Wild decisively. Now, to the Wild's credit, they haven't ebbed in any way like this, and they keep selling out that building, which is brilliant that they do it and the Wolves haven't. But the number one thing they have to do this year is they got to guard people, right? They were horrendous last year, right? Butler will play a huge part. Can his effect on others be evident? We'll see, because all of a sudden now on offense, guess what? The best defensive player is not going to guard Wiggins anymore. He's going to guard Butler. So there's ways to help, but they still added mainly offensive guys. I want to see if they can stop some people. I want to talk about what another country is doing about catcalls, and if we think that makes sense here in the States. Let's get to that when we come back. France is looking at this with proposals under discussion to fine men for aggressive catcalling or behavior towards women in public and to extend statute of limitations in cases of sexual assaults involving minors and to create a new ceiling under which minors can not legally consent to a sexual relationship. You've also had journalists and others comparable to Me Too, as we talked about yesterday with Jamie, put things out. A journalist named Sandra Muller said this. She turned to Twitter to recall a humiliating, inappropriate sexual comment from a powerful French executive. "You have big breasts. You're my type of woman. I will make you orgasm all night." And she did this under the hashtag expose your pig. Expose your pig. So journalists put this out, said in an interview, she was overwhelmed by the reaction. "I'm not a judge." Two lawyers for the executive named in the tweet demanded that she delete it, calling the accusations defamation. So we had this conversation yesterday, Adam and Lindsay. Is this just going to be Harvey Weinstein, the other stories, which are sad, they're horrible, they are life-altering, but is it just going to be the reaction to this and not action? Lindsay, you go first. What would you think if in our state, in Minnesota, we fined individuals for a catcall that I'm sure you faced and other women have faced way too many times?
Well, I just wonder how you prove it, because then doesn't it just come down to he said, she said?
Right.
In all honesty, unless you catch someone on tape. And if you do catch someone on tape, I think that there should be a way for you to do something other than shame them on social media. I'm so sick of that because it's not doing anything.
Yep.
We get to this point where we think, oh, I'm going to screenshot those text messages. Or I've been in that situation, as terrible as it sounds, where I've honestly screen grabbed text messages and sent them to my girlfriend before I deleted them, that if it ever came back to that I needed those,
yep,
that I had them there.
That a friend of yours has, but
yep,
you just don't want to see them.
I don't want to see them.
Yep.
I don't want to have them there. I know she would never release them without me saying it was okay.
Right.
But I know that if it ever came down to, and I would never do it for a vindictive way,
mm-hmm,
but when you are sexually harassed by someone that has some sort of control over your career, I think a lot of people look at it very differently. It happened in a time in my life when I was single, so it wouldn't affect a significant other, any feelings like that. But I did. There were moments after it happened where I said, this person could come back at me for whatever reason he wanted and do something to ruin what I've built, and I'm going to protect myself.
Are you more than optimistic, more than hopeful? Do you think it is likely that we will see, whether it's laws or businesses or other agents of change, so off Harvey Weinstein, and the story's way bigger than him, and it's been going on well before with so many other people, but that there will be something going for 6 months, 9 months, 2 years from now, we'll look this as an agent for specific change, or is it just a moment where we're caught up in it and then we're going to get caught up in other things. But the activity, the actions, the degrading will continue at the same level.
Am I hopeful? Yes. Do I think that this is a powerful moment where people who haven't been given a voice have been able to stand up and say something? Absolutely. Do I worry there's some hype behind it? For sure. I unfortunately think that any change that's going to come is less because there are people who think what is happening is wrong and more people who are afraid they're going to get called out for it. So business not – say, for instance, and this is not – this. I was not working here when this happened. But say, for instance, CBS Radio finds out what is happening under their roof and decides that in order to protect themselves, if it happens in a year or 2 years, that they're going to, you know, lay the hammer down and really try to protect themselves. I see that happening more than some CEO saying, I really want to change the culture at my business.
Let's pause right here. You want to chime in at any point? You certainly can. 81807. Colin Covert on the Twin Cities Film Fest in just a couple minutes. We're breaking down weddings here off air. We've resolved the whole thing. Our man, Colin Covert, kind enough to join us. He is the best movie observer, critic, informer in the, well, I think the Upper Midwest, I think America, I think the globe, but certainly on this show. Mr. Covert's kind enough to stop on by. So let's talk Twin Cities Film Fest. It started in 2010?
Yep.
Is that right?
8 years old.
How did it start? How did it finally happen?
It was created by a guy named Jason Satia, who just loved movies and wanted to do something to make a contribution to the community with that and, pursue the deep love that he had for them. And when he told me what he was planning to do, you know, I was telling myself, well, good luck, buddy. You know, we've already got enough film festivals around here. We don't need any more. Thank you. But he kept after it, and he put it together. And, you know, soon, within a couple of years, he was important enough that the studios wanted to send really good product to him so that the local opinion leaders would see it and talk it up before it moved on. So in that regard, they've premiered a number of Oscar winners there that, people really wouldn't have expected. They showed Silver Linings Playbook. They showed Midnight. And, they've brought up a pretty, pretty good slice of quality studio product alongside independent stuff, locally made stuff. So it's got a lot of scope and it's got a lot of depth.
So let's stay with that. So if people invest their time and see multiple movies, do they have the option that you might see something that turns into a Silver Linings Playbook, right, that's out there, but also a lot of independent, unique movies, which may not get the national buzz, but you're still going to come away saying, that was a damn good movie.
Exactly. That's exactly what will happen. And, and the great thing is this year there are no Harvey Weinstein movies there. Completely free.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that done, by the way? Is anything associated with Harvey and Bob Weinstein, are they done? Right? Because you have, I forget the man's name, but the man is Tom Rock, I'm forgetting his name, but he's very good friends with the president, and he's very financially successful. I'm talking about buying the company.
Yeah.
But to drive that going forward, knowing the tie was to Weinstein, who's going to want to be a part of that?
That could well be a broken brand. It may be time to move on from that. It had a great run while it was doing it. I mean, it was it was like an electromagnet for Oscars. It was pretty amazing, and it started a number of influential careers. But
it did.
You know, as we've now learned, in a very unfortunate sort of circumstance. So,
where can people see the movies for the film fest? Let's go over that.
Oh well, that's pretty straightforward. If you know where the Costco is over in St. Louis Park, it's right across the street from that. It's at the Showplace Icon Theaters, which is a good place to see movies under any circumstances.
Very good.
It is,
right?
Technically the best presentation in town.
You think that is the number? If you could see a movie anywhere, is that your number one place?
That would be my top choice.
Lindsay, you're nodding. You think that's the number one place also?
It's a great spot. And it's not only a great theater, but it's in a great location because it provides what you want before and after. So if you want to go to dinner before, you don't have to go into the mall.
Drinks. Lots of drinks.
Lots of drinks. Inside the theater, too. They were like one of the first with a bar.
Yep, they were. Yep. And you're not far from downtown Minneapolis either. So they're good reasons. Okay, because we have multiple film festival options here in our area.
Boy, do we.
And then you have so many around the country.
Yep.
How do you try to attract the quality that it appears from your judgment – that they have been able to bring in such a short period of time?
Well, you have to prove that you're important, first of all. And we're lucky to be living here in the Twin Cities, which is, although not one of the biggest markets in the country, it is surprisingly important in terms of movie marketing. This is a major bullseye that every studio wants to hit. So,
have we always been that?
It's grown over the years. Okay. It's grown over the years. And so it's basically like an opportunity to show what they hope to bring to market a few weeks or a couple of months before they actually do. And the idea is to get excited conversation about out there about what they've seen. You know, if you're a big fan of Winston Churchill, you can see Gary Oldman playing him in an mm-hmm. upcoming movie. You know,
yep.
an amazing actor and an amazing
a lot
movie.
Of anticipation
yeah,
about
yeah.
that
and
movie.
So there's lots there, and there's a lot of variety in terms of what they offer too. So if you're kind of a guy with a real penchant for horror films or something like that, you can find that. If you like documentary, you can find that. If you like just little short films, you know, that's there too. It's really a smorgasbord. They've got something for everybody.
So let's talk about a couple of them. Give me a few, including I know a documentary that you wrote about very yeah. favorably yeah, yeah. this past Sunday. Tell people about that.
Well, that's called A Gray State, and I knew nothing about it before turning it on, and when I was done, boy, was I glad that I had discovered it. It is based here in the Twin Cities area, and it's the story about a guy who was a very charismatic producer and director of sort of high-action political films.
Hmm.
And he got to be very – he was a sort of a libertarian himself. He got very popular with the alt-right, started getting sort of, help me fund it backing, and made enough interesting stuff that he could sell producers in Hollywood about the idea of backing this as a genuine film. But it digs deeper and deeper and deeper into this guy, and the more layers that we peel off this particular onion, the stranger – and more confusing and more horrible it becomes. It winds up with several deaths and a sort of conspiracy notion of, exactly what happened there. It talks to local journalists who examined it and dug deep into it. It talks to the young man's family and others who knew him.
Hmm.
And it's just absolutely fascinating. It's a story that, the deeper you get into it, the more amazing it is. It's, stranger than fiction by far.
Where are we at now? The quality of documentaries. We have so many venues to show this, mm-hmm. right? Whether it's Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. Mm-hmm. Because we have more venues, and as someone who's always really enjoyed documentaries, including ones like you just described that mm-hmm. I didn't initially know much about, and then it just brought me in.
Yeah.
I would think that this has given a platform to access to more. Am I right about that?
Well, definitely more are being produced, and I'm very happy to hear about that too. Documentary fans might look forward to this Friday to the opening of Human Flow, a film by the Chinese artist and human rights activist Ai Weiwei, and it's all about refugees and immigrants and how many millions of them we are dealing with now in our shrinking planet,
right?
And how they deal with their difficult homelands and the challenging cities that they go to. And it's stunningly beautiful and completely touching. And it's the kind of film that, would not have been made 10 years ago. But now the technology is cheap enough and there are enough people who want to tell certain stories that, they're coming out in droves and much enriching the film culture.
Colin Covert is here. It's 49 past 2. Let me remind you, we're talking about the Twin Cities Film Fest. So we're at 120 screenings.
Wow.
In 11 days. That's a lot.
That's more than I see.
How many of these did you end up seeing?
Of those directly, I saw three.
Okay.
But we're coming up to the screening week, so I'll be there yep. as often as I can.
Okay. Has the total jumped dramatically over the last few years?
I think, I may be wrong about this, but I believe that it was higher a year ago. But that doesn't mean that it was better. I mean,
yep.
The value here is... return on the time that you invest in it. And I think that they do a very good job of curating their choices here. So, by trimming back the number of offerings,
yep.
I think they can actually improve the quality of the festival.
Who do you think is the typical moviegoer who attends the Twin Cities Film Fest?
Well, it's a man or a woman who really digs that. I mean, we are very lucky to be in a community that's recognized as one of the most literate in the country. Whenever you look at those quality of life rankings that are you know, explain what part of the nation is good in healthcare and stuff like that, we always come out on top of literacy studies, and I think we come out also on top of film literacy studies. We're just a local culture that has fallen in love with it, and we just can't get enough. So, you know, I don't know if I could really pick an age or something like that, but I would say enthusiasm is the common theme. People who really will take time out of their week to see a couple of good movies because, you know, they like how it's done. It means more to them than theater. It means more to them than music, maybe. That's their medium. That's their genre, and they just can't, you know, they're addicted like me.
I got time for one more here. We've had a stretch. We were talking about it briefly off air. We've not had a great year in the movie so far. That may change dramatically because we're about to see the quality movies that we normally expect with Oscar time, and I'm sure there'll be some great performances.
Awards season.
Right. Do you think that helps an event like this, the Twin Cities Film Fest, when you have a lot of people out there who love movies and they've been saying week after week after week, what are we going to watch? Mm. In fact, we're not going to go because we'll look at Amazon.
Yeah,
we'll look at Netflix. But they still love the movie theater experience.
Yeah, well, this is a great place to do it because what this festival does, what you know, all of our festivals here do, but what this one does especially well is to sort of offer you the advice that your well-informed friend would give you. The most important thing to selling, you know, any product is your friend's advice. Oh, I really like that.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going on here. The people who curate this, who choose what films they show, they debate, you know, they argue, this is better than that. Well, the ones that they finally put on their list for us are things that have really been looked at carefully and thought about a lot, and they say, yeah, this is worth the time. Let's get it in there. So when you look at their schedule, you say, okay, I've never heard of this. I have no idea. Who is this person? I don't know. But they seem to like it, so let's give it a try.
I think that's a great experience.
Yeah.
When you literally go in and you know minuscule about the movie.
It's the best way to see it.
But you trust the judgment of those who are presenting something to you.
Exactly. Movies are like a box of chocolates. You're never sure exactly what you're going to get.
I think I heard that once or twice, at least once in a movie. That was a movie that did fairly well. TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. Mr. Covert, what's the best movie you've seen this year so far?
We were just talking about Baby Driver, and that was one of the most creative, wild, original things that I've seen in a long, long time. If that doesn't at least win the best editing and best sound design Oscar, I will. I'll break my TV into pieces.
Can we videotape that?
Yeah,
that'd be pretty good. Thank you, sir, Colin. Nice of him to join us. Follow him on Twitter at Colin Covert. Lindis Construction Time Check 2:53. Time to stop cleaning your gutters and have us install LeafGuard brand gutters today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.